Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's up, sports mappers? Welcome to the fray on a Thursday on The Usual Suspects. It's Barry, it's Nick, it's Joel. We're in studio today, and then tomorrow we will come to you live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. So if you're in the B-Town area and the Golden Triangle, and you want to stop by and say hi, we'll be there till 4 tomorrow. Blitz will be there till 7. We always love hanging out with the good people of Beaumont, having a good time. So come on out and see us, won't you? In the meantime, we are entering hour number 3 of the big show. The first 2 hours, if you missed any of it, we always tell you, go ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. Catch up on what you missed. We covered a lot of ground, had a lot of fun, and even made sure we hit the fantasy football aspect for all you guys that are getting ready for playoffs with Sigmund Bloom. That was at 2:30 in hour number 2. So catch up on one you missed. But in the meantime, we are here for you up until 4, and then the Blitz will take you till 7.
Some news and notes from around the NFL. Bengals wide receiver A.J. Green, toe issue, said he'll play in week 13 against the Broncos. They're fighting. I don't know that they have a shot, but they're in the hunt, so to speak. Chicago Bears quarterback Mitchell Trubisky's shoulder still bothering him, was again limited during practice yesterday. You said he still isn't even throwing. Is that correct?
Yep, that's as of today.
Speaking of quarterbacks, Sam Darnold, foot issue, returned to practice on Wednesday and was a limited participant, so things are looking up for the Jets. Cam Newton has a shoulder problem, was listed as limited in practice as well on Wednesday for the Carolina Panthers. Big Ben got some rest. He just sat out practice on Wednesday, so nothing to be concerned about. Just some rest late in the season, which I imagine a lot of folks are going to start being limited to practice when you get around week 13 of the NFL season. And then lastly, New Orleans Saints wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith fully participated in practice on Wednesday. So he looks to be good to go for tonight's game.
Yeah, big game tonight, too. Boy, I'll tell you what, that's something. The Cowboys, as we said, have put it together recently, look to be the favorite to win that division in the NFC East with Alex Smith going out for the Redskins, with the Eagles not being anywhere near what everybody thought they were going to be coming off the Super Bowl. And yet this is going to be hopefully an entertaining game, hopefully an entertaining Thursday night game. It's at Jerry World. But the Saints, after losing their opener, have won 10 straight, as we all know, because Clarence calls the show, are rolling. But it's just stranger things are happening, but the spread, I don't know what the last spread you saw, but the spread was borderline double digits, and I'm going, you know what? I just got a sneaky suspicion. If the Saints win this thing, it's going to be single digits, and it may be less than a touchdown.
Oh, you think?
I don't think it's going to be a blowout like a lot of people, including Stephen A. Smith, are talking about. I know if you're a Cowboy hater, you want that. But overall, I just see a Cowboy team that's found balance, that whether you believe Cooper was worth a number one or not, he's been fantastic and exactly what they needed. It's allowed Dak to kind of not have all that pressure on his shoulders, spread the ball around, use the balance to his advantage. And then that defense has stepped up and played really, really well. And we talked about Smith and Van Der Esch, but their defensive line gets after the quarterback. Their secondary is not that bad. And I just don't think that the Saints are 10 points or 10 or more better than the Cowboys now in Jerry World.
It's crazy to think that this Cowboys defense, who hasn't played bad in the past couple of years, but they're like legitimately up there as one of the best defensive teams in the NFC for sure. With the Bears, they're only giving up 213 points. points allowed total for the year. But so they're a plus 21 because they just can't get anything generated on offense. But defensively, they're stout. I just don't know if they have enough. I don't know that anyone has enough to be able to deal with the likes of the Saints and the you know the Rams and the Chiefs as well. But
if I had to put money on it,
and I tell you what,
I would take the Saints.
Yeah, yeah. I still haven't done my my gambling sheet for the week where I go do the plus minuses and all that. So I don't know for sure. I'll have it done because I'm sure we're going to pick before the show's over. But I think one of the things that I was just looking you know at some pregame stuff. Dude, the numbers that DeMarcus Lawrence is putting up again, I just don't feel like he's ever included in the conversations with guys like Von Miller and J.J. Watt and even Khalil Mack this year. But statistically, he's up there with those guys as one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. And he's taken – it's damn near exclusively from the left side, which that's going to be a pretty fun matchup. That right tackle that the Saints have, I forget his name. It's really weird pronunciation of it, but – he can get after it, too. I think it's a second year kid out of Wisconsin.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
It's a weird-ass last name.
I'll get it for you.
Yeah, but that's going to be a fun matchup to watch and something to keep an eye on because if he can, if that kid on the Saints can neutralize DeMarcus Lawrence even just a little bit and slow down a little bit of that pass rush, which I think he's good enough to do. He's one of the better right tackles in the NFL. It stands to reckon that, man, if you can slow down that pass
Ryan
rush.
Ramchek,
yeah. That's going to be a good matchup to watch. So if you're looking for a game within the game or something to watch outside of just always looking at the quarterback and the skill positions, watch that matchup right there and see how that goes for the Cowboys. Because if they can get a little pressure on Breeze and their defense can hold up a little bit, I think that they have a shot. I'm just not I don't think anybody's stopping this Saints offense. And God
slowing
forbid,
them down is different than stopping them.
Yeah,
for sure.
Disrupting some drives. And obviously the one thing that the Cowboys have in their advantage when facing the Saints is you want to keep the ball out of the hands of Drew Brees. And the best way to do that, obviously, is run the ball. And the Cowboys can run the ball. Ezekiel Elliott's having a great year. You've got Amari Cooper, so keep the sticks moving a little bit. But they really have to control the clock and control the ball and not turn it over.
They definitely do. Ball control for clock management is huge. I had that on my notes as well because of the fact that with Zeke, you can neutralize a lot of that speed and heavy, high scoring, hit you with a haymaker type offense that the Saints bring in. The matchup that I'm looking at is Michael Thomas against a Byron Jones or the secondary of the Cowboys because he has been able to really create havoc throughout the league recently. And this is going to be a matchup where I think the young, and especially with some size at the cornerback position for the Cowboys, defensive backs can try and put a little extra pressure on a guy like Michael Thomas. And then you realize that there's more pressure on Smith, who's dinged up. We expect him to play, but we don't know how well. And if you can take away or at least try to neutralize Thomas, and then you're worried about Smith. And from a Cowboys perspective, you have to be worried about that two-headed monster in the backfield alongside of Drew Brees, because you've got two guys that not only can run the ball, but they can also catch the ball, especially in the case of Kamara. And therefore, you can't be going all out on your pass rushes at all times, because you've got to mind your P's and Q's in case Kamara gets out of the backfield and Drew Brees decides a little wheel route or a little dump-off pass. And if you're out of position or you guys don't hold the edge on the defense for the Cowboys, look out now.
Yeah, you do have to set the edge. That is for sure. And even Brees will run a little bit. He's a guy that he'll stay in the
pocket.
He
doesn't want to.
He doesn't want to, but he'll get out and run a little bit. But he's definitely a guy that, you know, he's comfortable in the pocket. He's such a veteran. He'll move around in the pocket. He'll buy himself an extra couple of seconds. It's going to be interesting to see, though, because I really do think that that matchup on the right side of that offensive line for the Saints is going to be key for Dallas and getting off the field. And then can they run the ball? Because the Saints, listen, man. The Saints' defense is legit as well. This is not
it used to be a joke, and now
it's
not. But, you know, Lattimore's been up and down. I still don't believe in Eli Apple, but it's amazing how much a very mediocre player can look a lot better when he's around better players that are around him. And Eli Apple, since he got to the Saints, looks like to be a better player. But he's helped to give them an extra body in the secondary with a little speed and still obviously some athleticism. But that defensive line, to me, is the key for everything for the Saints.
And
when you look at what they have and what they can bring at you, from the standpoint of Marcus Davenport, which is a top 20 pick in the first round, everybody said he was going to be raw, needed a whole bunch of work. But boy, he's a situational pass rusher. But when he comes in, he wreaks havoc. And they have they're too deep at almost every position in the front seven where you have to at least respect them. And then their secondary's gotten better and better. And I mentioned Lattimore and Apple and those guys. But I think that the Saints defense has been the biggest key to why they've won 10 straight.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving up, I think it's less than, last time I saw, it was, I want to say less than 75 yards a game in rushing. That's legit. I think that's tops in the NFL. I think second is about 80. I mean, they are legitimately the stoutest defense against the run. And so it's going to be, I tell you what, it's kind of like, it reminds me of an MMA fight when you see two wrestlers and you're like, oh, this should be fun. And then it just ends up being a boring stall match. I'm not saying the Saints are going to make it boring offensively, but if Dallas can't run the ball, who's going to win? So Dallas loves to run the ball with Ezekiel Elliott. There's no, make no bones about that, right? And they're good. They've got the offensive line to do that. The Saints are the best at stopping the run. This is either going to be a good game or really ugly really quick, especially if they get behind and have to rely on Dak Prescott's arm.
You mentioned that it's another Thursday night game. It looks like it should be a good matchup, but again, short week, lots of guys dinged up.
Short week for the Saints, though. Not for the when did the Saints play? They played Sunday, right?
Saints played Sunday.
So Dallas played Thursday, so I think it's Thursday to Thursday. They've had a full week.
Dallas, yeah. That should be to their advantage again. Yeah. When you're looking at the point spreads, take that into consideration, the fact that the Cowboys at least are well-rested, whereas the Saints are coming off a bit of a short week. So interesting to see in Saints on the road, and that's a tough place to play. As much as you want to say whatever you want about the Cowboys, look, their fans and that building, they will be loud, they will be ready, they will be all over the place. So hopefully it's a good game, because otherwise the Thursday night games, and I go to the Panthers-Steelers game is one I was really looking forward to, and then it was an absolute debacle. Hopefully for the viewing pleasure that don't have a fighting interest with either team, it's a good game.
Yeah. Dallas, just for the record, Dallas rushing sixth in the league, their rushing attack, 134 yards a game. So you've got a top five, top six rushing attack versus the top rushing defense. Again, it could be great or it could be ugly. I kind of lean... I don't know. Half of me wants this to be a good game, like you said, and I feel like Dallas has some of the weapons now with Cooper and the fact that their run game has really gotten going. But, man, do you trust Dak
actually,
in
Saints
this
Falcons,
offense?
Wasn't Saints-Falcons last Thursday night? Wasn't that the late game on Thanksgiving?
Was it?
I think it was.
Okay.
So both teams are evenly rested.
So it
that's
should be.
Fair.
That should, yeah,
so that
should
hopefully leads to you believing it will be a better game.
Yeah.
So there that's something to look forward to. So there you go. That'll be the game tonight. Look, Clarence, we already know who you're pulling for. You don't have to call in.
There's two calls that we don't know yet. I'm guessing.
The names aren't coming up yet.
One of them is
betting.
Eric. One of them is Eric, the Cowboys fan. And one of them is Clarence,
one of them just
the Saints
hung up.
Fan.
So Clarence probably knows we already put him on blast. All right, we're going to continue to roll on in the final hour of the show. And if you want to join us, give it a go. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Must be the usual suspects.
Hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, final hour of the show. We were talking about the Saints and the Cowboys. We had guessed that Clarence hung up because he assumed that he got called out and he wouldn't dare stick in for another segment. But instead of doing that, he did the opposite, Barry. I will not do the imitation, but he is present and accounted for on... Nick, is that line one that he's on? Let's go to Clarence and find out. What's up, Clarence?
Yes, sir. What's going on?
What's up, man? You all jacked up for the game tonight?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a good one.
Is it?
It's going to be a good one, and it's not going to be as close. It's not going to be a blowout, but I'm thinking probably a 10-point game.
Okay.
10-point spread. And
what is the spread, Brady? Yep. Know?
Yes, according to the latest,
seven?
Yeah, it's seven.
Okay.
It is at seven.
And, Joe, you were saying something. Both of you guys were saying about how the Cowboys could win this game by keeping the ball away from Breeze with Dak and
ball control.
Zeke. But here's the thing. The Saints already shut down arguably the best back in the league when they played the Rams. And the Cowboys' offensive line is still not what it used to be the past couple of seasons ago. So I really believe that the Saints are going to win this game because I don't believe in Dak. Like, no one really does. In his arm, even when they got Amari Cooper, no one believes in Dak. They don't believe Dak to win them a game. So that right there, that tells it. That tells the story. They're going to have to put the ball in Dak's hand, and he can't get it done. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think, well, I mentioned it last segment. If they have to play from behind, it's one of the four or five worst passing attacks in football. Now, some of that statistically comes from the fact that they didn't have Amari Cooper, that Cole Beasley was their one for a while. But since Cooper has been there, I mean, his numbers have been pretty good.
He's really good.
So I think it's a better passing attack AC than it was BC.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. But I'm with you. This isn't a passing attack, even with Amari Cooper, that can hang with the likes of Drew Brees and what that offense can put up. So to, I reiterate my stance. You've got to control the ball. You've got to run the ball if you're the Cowboys. You've got to keep Drew Brees off the field. And don't get behind. Don't get behind by a couple of touchdowns.
Absolutely, because it's not a team you want that does well playing from behind. But here's the thing. He brought up Gurley and the Rams. We all know from week to week, the Patriots lost to the Titans. You know, but yet they 1 week you could be gangbusters, but 1 week does not make a season. So, yeah, you beat the Rams. You've won 10 in a row. That doesn't mean that it's just a foregone conclusion that you're going to beat the Cowboys in Dallas, who are a better team than they were early in the season either. We're just hoping for a good game. So, you know, the Saints portion of the program brought to you by Buku, and we can move on.
So, I did the numbers for what I normally do when I do my picks and stuff like that. And what I have is basically a 28-21 game. So, which is about 7 points, which is the spread. But when you look at, when you incorporate it from a betting perspective, the Sagarin ratings, he has them separated by about 4.5. So that'll tell you that means he thinks the Cowboys are a little bit closer as a team, and maybe he's taken into account adding Cooper and the passing attack being a little better and the fact that they can run the football
so
effectively.
Balance is key.
Yeah, so and defensively they're a better football team than most the Cowboys are, especially points allowed. So when you look at that and then I take the spread and stuff like that, I get a variance when I look at Sagarin and spread and then what I think the teams are going to score. And the variance means it's -2, -2.3. So from a betting perspective, and to take it for what it's worth, I've been about a +2 each week. Last week I went 8-7. So not a great week for me last week, but I've been doing about 9-4, 9-5 most weeks. I would take the Cowboys and the points this week. And that sounds crazy, but it is a home game, right? Like for the Cowboys,
yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think I would take the Cowboys and the points, but I don't think they win. I don't think that they're beating the Saints. I don't know if anybody's beating the Saints the rest of the year.
Well, Let me just say this. I think, and you call me crazy, I think in the best interest of the Saints, it wouldn't be a bad idea if they got a loss between now and the end of the season.
Left on their schedule, Cowboys, Bucks, Panthers, Steelers, Panthers. You think they split with
the
Panthers?
I think the Steelers could get them, and I think the Panthers could get them. The Panthers, I think, are overrated, but I think the Steelers could get them, especially depending on what happens with all the playoff ramifications, and the Steelers may really need a game down the stretch.
So, yeah, I mean, when you figure that it's Cowboys, Bucks, they should win tonight, they should beat the Bucks, then I could see them losing one of those three games. You're right. I could see them, and especially having to play the Panthers twice, it's a divisional game. It wouldn't surprise me if they lose one of those three final games, either one of the Panthers games.
And that's not a knock on the Saints. No. Although, the other thing you got to keep in mind there is they're fighting tooth and nail with the Rams for home field advantage, too. So, obviously, there's more motivation and every game, the magnitude of each game is more important for the Saints as well. But I got to believe down the stretch they'll drop one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, can you imagine? Obviously, the Patriots went undefeated, ran a regular season. But other than that, can you imagine there's extra pressure when you're undefeated going into the playoffs, too? And
it's tough to win divisional games, period. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, look at the Eagles.
Two games in 3 weeks against Panthers?
Yeah,
two divisional games. That tight of a window?
Yeah, I mean, hell, their first game of the year, they're only lost, and it was a divisional game against the Bucks. So
Yeah. But should, hopefully, let's just hope it's a good game. Because if it is, that's what everybody wants to see. If you're not, like I said, if you're not either a Saints fan and or a Cowboys fan, and we know we got plenty of those in this area and neck of the woods. There was a rumor, by the way, out there, Cliff Kingsbury was going to be the new offensive coordinator of USC. But now there are other people that have refuted that report and said, including talking to Kingsbury's agent, nothing is done. Nothing has been agreed to. But you would think that Cliff Kingsbury, yeah, I get it. It's L.A., it's Southern California, and it's USC. And if Helton screws up another year, you'd be the heir apparent to a big-time program. But I got to believe there's other programs out there that are going to be knocking on Cliff Kingsbury's door and haven't already.
No doubt. So. By the way, text lines went nuts because I had forgot that the Falcons and Saints didn't play on Thursday.
Thank you. That's all you got to do, Barry.
I can't even remember what the hell happened yesterday. And you guys want me to remember what happened a week ago? Plus, on Thanksgiving when I was drinking? You guys need to settle down.
But you weren't eating. So you weren't comatose like you should have been because you were staying skinny for your shows first.
I always drink on Thanksgiving, though. Moms gets the crown or dad because, you know, a split family. Whoever's house I go to, they know I have a bottle of crown ready for Thanksgiving. So you guys can shut up. But if you want to work out tonight, come meet me at Vortex because I will be there ready to rumble in that rumble class. We've got the rumble classes, the spin classes, which are called the ride classes. They got this catchy little thing where they say rumble, ride, refuel. So you can do the boxing class, you can do the spin class. And then afterwards, they've got a smoothie, like not a machine, it's like a bar. And then you can order your protein shake or your smoothie or whatever you want to get post-workout. And it's ready and waiting for you when you're done. That's cool. Nice little touch by Vortex. Also, a nice little touch when you're done working out, they have somebody standing outside the gym, whether it's the ride class, the spin class, or the boxing room, and they're standing there with a basket full of cold towels, which is, it sounds like, oh, that's fancy. Dude, it's the best feeling in the world when you get done with a grueling workout like you go through in those boxing classes, and there's a nice cold towel to put on your head and just rest and rejuvenate after a hard workout. And it's a full body workout. Do not sleep on these classes, y'all. The ride classes and the boxing classes are both full body workouts done in 45 minutes, so you don't have to invest a ton of time at the gym. You get a great full body workout, burn tons of calories, and do it in a nice gym. Not some, you know, like, ugh, like everything is disgusting. It's clean. They cleaned it after every class. And don't worry about equipment. Some of you don't have boxing gloves or hand wraps or whatever. Don't worry. Vortex has it all for you. You can get you can buy some hand wraps, and they got gloves you can use there as well. Classes are super cheap. $25 for a spin or a rumble class. They also have a thing going where you can get an unlimited walk-in classes for 1 week for $40 to try it all out. 1707 West Gray is where they're located. That's important to have. You got to have the address to get there. And don't forget, VortexTexas.com is their online destination, so you can sign up. You can schedule your classes. You can see the athletes that are going to be training you, including Trey, who I'll be boxing with tonight. So come meet me. Classes start at 5:30 tonight for the Rumble class. I'll see you there. 1707 West Gray, VortexTexas.com. That's VortexTexas.com. The world is gonna roll me. I ain't the sharpest tool in the
shed. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, SportsMap 94.1, ESPN 97.5. We had talked a little bit about the big game tonight between the Saints and the Cowboys, a little bit of a pro football preview for what's to come. Tomorrow, just as a reminder, we will get into our college picks, our pro picks, and have a lot going on from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. The afternoon guys are all doing their shows from Luke's. Therefore, it would be us and the Blitz. So stop by and see us if you're in the Golden Triangle area. And indulge in a little Luke's Ice House. Great, great environment. Indoor, outdoor. Lots of TVs. Unbelievably good food. Like, normally bar food is just eh. Yeah. But their food down there is good, too.
Yeah, it's not bad. Dakota texted in again, said, was going to bet Saints -8 heavy tonight until Stephen A. picked them. He is garbage at picks. And then he added, Stephen A. Smith wrong predictions on YouTube is a funny watch.
I did not know that.
I will have to look that up because I do enjoy going down rabbit holes like that. So Stephen A. Smith wrong predictions on YouTube.
That sounded a little.
Huh?
That sounded a little.
What?
You do enjoy going down rabbit holes like that.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm
grow
just saying.
Up.
It sounds like a bad gardening experience.
Stop it.
That's turned out to be a hobby.
It is, yes. And, Cowboys are going to win and then lose to Philly and Indy. It's going to come down to a win in Week 17, and they will lose like normal. I'm a Cowboys fan. That was NASCAR Johnny.
Okay.
Cowboys fans kind of remind me of Aggie fan, because that would be my attitude as an Aggie fan. You just got this defeated, it's never going to work out type of attitude.
So let's get to this. We talked about this the other day.
Okay.
Reuben Foster, the linebacker from Alabama on the Buccaneers roster, gets caught in another domestic violence situation.
Slapped his phone out of a hand of his girlfriend and then slapped
her face, scratched her collarbone.
Allegedly,
right. But third arrest in less than a year. Buccaneers cut him immediately. Redskins claimed him. So there's been a lot of questions and a lot of discussions surrounding it since then. And, of course, we have heard from Jay Gruden yesterday, who didn't say much. But today, Doug Williams, the general manager of the Redskins, came out and tried to address people's questions. And instead of kind of trying to maybe calm everybody down, who, baby, did he stir it up? Some of his quotes. The most important thing is we're hoping that things come out. And it wasn't the way that everything has been perceived. We don't know that. We have to wait and see. If things are as bad as it's made out to be, he might not get a chance to play. However, we've got people who are in high, high, high places that have done far worse. And if you have to look at it realistically, they're still up there. This is small potatoes compared to a lot of things out there. Really, Doug?
If I'm the Redskins front office, I immediately fire this dude. You cannot go out there and say something like that about people.
Well, the worst thing
about higher-ups. Like, oh, well, there's worse things than domestic violence within our organization. Get over it, guys. What?
It looks like he has the back of the front office because it looks like it's a unanimous decision. I guess that's why he's so bold with some of those quotes that you see online, because I think it's a unanimous decision. So if you have your owner, the owner got your back.
Dan
the
Snyder, and we all know Dan Snyder is an over-the-top. All he cares about is winning, and he's creepy, but this is just to another level.
Yeah. By the way, you said Bucks, you meant Niners, right? He got cut from the Niners.
Niners, right. It was they were playing the Bucks as well. Yeah. So save bad. The tweets and text.
Exactly.
Also, other quotes from Williams throughout the statement. I could sit here, and I won't. But he will name a bunch of teams that took on players that got a lot of baggage that nobody's saying anything about. You can't get into nitpicking what they do and what you do. You got to look at it from your standpoint. So essentially,
wow.
It's just all about winning.
He is an idiot. Why would you even come out and say anything? Did he write the press release for the Redskins? Because this sounds as bad as their initial press release on why they signed Reuben Foster and how they're like, well, if it turns out to be true, well, we're just going to shake our head at that because we don't agree with what he did. Not we're going to cut him. Not we're going to wait and see. Not he's going to be benched. And I mean, credit to head coach.
Jay Gruden?
Jay Gruden. Because he said, look, there's no guarantee he's going to play.
Ever, right.
So hopefully what he meant was, until I find out what's happening, he's not going to step foot on this field. And that might be the best thing for that organization is for Jay Gruden to take a stand and show some integrity. But it sounds like the rest of that front office is just a bunch of D-bags.
And we finish with this as he addressed the possible, quote-unquote, blowback on picking up a guy like this.
Poor choice of words, by the way.
Basically, what you're doing here is you're taking a high-risk chance. The high risk was the beat-up that we're going to take from PR. We understood that from a PR standpoint, and we're taking it. It hasn't even started yet, Doug. I'll tell you what. If you thought it was bad going into everything that's happened in the last couple days, based on your statements, it's going to get worse.
Dumb ass. I don't know how else you... I mean... This is that moment, you know, you talk about sometimes the PR will be in the locker room, PR folks around players and be like, no. What he meant was, boy, did they need a PR guy around him right now. And to be like, what he meant was...
Tony Wiley, the ex-Texans guy, I believe is still vice president of communications for the Redskins. He's one PR guy of the year. He's a very smart individual. How is he not corralling Doug Williams?
Right now, the Redskins are in the midst of a horrible PR nightmare. Between those comments that you just read that I hadn't heard before, and their press release, and then the fact that they just decided to take a flyer on the guy to begin with.
When we were in the Me Too era and all these domestic issues started popping up, you started to see, teams take a stance and say, "I'm not going to do. If there's a player that's linked to domestic violence, we're not going to. We want nothing to do with them." But yeah. Now I feel like there's a new trend in that they're willing to take that PR gamble. Well, let's see if we can withstand the PR damage that's about to happen when we claim them off the waiver wire and get all this blowback from from fans and people and. You know, I really feel like teams are starting to think that, oh, you know what? We
can fade it.
We'll get through this PR damage rush and hopefully he'll be allowed to play again.
I will say that sometimes it feels like, and don't read too much into what I'm saying here, person listening, but sometimes it feels like that the outrage does have a limited time span.
It does.
People get exhausted by being outraged because they hit it with so much fury that I don't even know that I buy into everyone really cares as much as they pretend to. They just like to get mad. And then this is just a general perception, not specifically about domestic violence. I'm talking in general. You look on the internet, people get up in arms about everything, and then it goes away and no one cares after that. It seems like, when in reality, we need to stay diligent. We need to care. We need to continue to follow up. But like you said, most of these teams just like, oh, this'll pass. I mean, that's got to be a mantra in PR, right? We'll just weather the storm, and then this too shall pass.
No question about it.
When in reality, you should be caring the fact that you've got guys on your roster who are accused of domestic violence. Why don't weather the storm? Fix it.
Well, and you mentioned it, there's a barometer to everything, right? There's a barometer to everything.
Yeah.
So you're measuring, what do you think the ramifications are going to be? What's the worst case scenario? What's the best case scenario? How does this work out best for us? And then you start figuring about all the hidden variables that people don't bring up. Like, does your team or anybody on your team have a past history that will make this even worse?
Yeah.
Does the player have something? Is he being forthright with us? Can we trust him? And or is it to get every bit of information beforehand? Take when the Astros brought in an Osuna.
That's a great example. Somebody just texted that in. They said Nick's exactly right about this whole short attention span. Look at the Ozuna outrage that went away pretty quick.
It just hit me when we were talking about this, and I'm reading more of the press release, but I'm saying,
yeah,
good PR departments, to your point, and even that, every PR department is also going to, in that room, is not going to be the end-all decision maker. It's going to be the CEO. It's going to be the owner of the team. And it's going to be a group of individuals that have a lot of experience weighing every single bit of this to say, I know it's about trying to add a quality player to a team that's trying to win. But at the end of the day, does that outweigh the ramifications off the field, the reputation that the team's going to get, the damage it's going to do overall as a franchise? Because we've said it at the end of the day, we've had NFL players on this show that have said, you think it's all about winning in the NFL, but it's about that money. And if it takes money out of their pockets, because now people ain't going to wear that Redskins gear, they're going to be burning it. They're going to be talking about just how they can't support a team that goes out and does something like this. You got to weigh all of that.
Somebody had a good question because you mentioned Osuna, but they said, do you think that there are any similarities between the two? Maybe there's something that the Redskins know about the situation that, like, similar to the Astros, they said, hey, look, we've done our due diligence. We've left no stone unturned in this Osuna case. And look what happened. I mean, it did get basically the equivalent in Canada of, hey, look, we're throwing this out. We don't think that there's enough to prosecute you, but you're on probation. And if you screw up, you've screwed up. And this will, you'll face consequences. Other than that, though, that's all water under the bridge.
My brief rebuttal to you, Barry, is that's possible. But based on what you read and what you've heard from Doug Williams and others in Washington, do you think that they spent that much time doing their due diligence? You've heard all of Doug Williams' comments.
No.
And you saw the statement that the Redskins put out. If that was that sloppily done and carelessly done, I don't think they did enough due diligence.
Yeah, you could be right.
All right, we'll see what happens. We got one segment to go in the big show. They're going to turn it over to the Blitz. Fred, AJ, Jong, they're going to be at 4 o'clock, taking you home till 7. But we'll take you home up until then, because this is ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1, and we are the usual suspect.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show. We appreciate you taking us along for a ride on a Thursday here on The Usual Suspects. It's SportsMap 94.1 and ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio today, in Beaumont tomorrow at Luke's Ice House along with the Blitz. So stop by and see us if you're down I-10 way and in that area. Covered a lot of ground today, fellas, including the last segment we were talking about the Redskins, Doug Williams, and a lot of just really bad quotes coming out of D.C. today. We talked about the Saints and the Cowboys and, of course, Rockets and a bunch of other things along the way. If you missed anything, ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab. Catch up on what you missed on the podcast and or just download for the future the ESPN975 app, which you can get by, again, being on ESPN975.com.
Somebody said, how about Bell wanting to sign with Indy? We've covered that several times this week. PodcastArena.com for our thoughts on that. OU Mike said, yeah. And then Doug Williams said, but the name Redskins offends me. pretty funny.
Still not allowed out to call still in, don't Mike. Call. But yeah.
But you can still text because I can filter you when you text. The Bengals drafted Joe Mixon. Good point there.
Good point, yeah.
Tyreek Hill. Everybody forgot. Yep. And then I think it sums it up nicely when this texter said, I hate to say it, but that fan base might be up in arms right now. If the Redskins get into the playoffs, all that outrage goes away.
That's the Osuna.
That's how sad. Yeah.
By the playoffs, he was absolutely, that was swept under the rug.
Yeah. I don't know.
It's right, by the way, but that it happens.
I'm going to read this text because I think it's a fair question. Because of your look, he's going to read it right now. Do you not want me to read this? Because you can see it, right?
No, I haven't got.
I'm going to read. I think it's a fair question. Okay. You can simply say no.
Okay.
You can simply just say no. But I think it's a fair question given your previous employer and the person that you worked
with. Let's stop it,
Joel. Any insight into Dwight Howard and his transvestites? First of all, I don't know that I would say it's his transvestites. You have to say the accusations that he's been involved with, transgender, and others, we'll just say. Any insight into that from you, Joel?
I have no insight into it. And obviously it's happened since his time with the Rockets and my time with the Rockets.
Yeah.
I think that there's a lot of things that we've covered already that you can go back and listen to on the podcast from the day it actually came out. In terms of the fact that the most disturbing thing to me is the fact that everybody's focusing on the transvestite aspect of it and the those kind of things.
There's a difference between transvestites and transgenders.
Okay, so transgenders.
Correct.
Thank you. All I know is that even with my time and experience with Dwight Howard, he had a lot of growing up to do. And when I see threats being made and, trying to get contractual agreement signed so that, non-disclosures, things like that. What it really tells me is Dwight still hasn't grown up because Dwight needs to carry himself in a different way. And you've seen this throughout his career. I just think it's something that it's a work in progress, but obviously there's not enough work being done because there's just a lot of bad that went on in that story. And it has nothing to do with whatever his sexual preferences may be. It has everything to do with the fact that if all these allegations, or at least some of them, are proven true, and again, much like we were talking about with the Foster situation, we have to wait for all the facts to come out. But if the facts come out and your pastor is making threats,
that's a bad
death look. Threats and threats, that's not good. If there was, potential buy-offs trying to take place where they would, hush money,
yeah,
those kind of things.
Yeah.
Just ridiculously immature, stupid behavior.
This is the last year he's going to get that last year of he's going to get paid like when he was good paid. Because following this season is going all the way down to a $5 million salary. So I don't know if that's going to help him mature a little bit, but...
I wouldn't say mature, but humbling, maybe.
I don't know. We'll
Fellas, see. Here's the thing I'm going to say about that, because I've said it before from a strictly basketball perspective. It's kind of like when you're being tutored by Hakeem Olajuwon and Kevin McHale, and they're two Hall of Famers. By the time you're being tutored by those two guys and you haven't gotten any better and you're getting to be around 30, you have to face the reality. It just ain't going to happen because he just isn't putting enough into it. So that's the same thing that I would say about all this, too, and what Nick is saying. People may... put him on a roster because he still can get some rebounds and do some things. But at the end of the day, is all of this other stuff going to be worth it? Because I can tell you that every franchise he's been with, there has been headache after headache that the public doesn't know about,
yeah,
that they've had to deal with because he's a little child. Look back at the videos when he used to try and with the young guys, that the rookies and the young guys on the bench wanted to pay attention to the game, and he was busy trying to punch him in the groin, and he got caught on TV a couple times. It's like, what are you doing?
I would think that Washington, right when they signed him, I figured Washington isn't a team that's for real, because I felt like they were smart enough to know what you're getting with a guy like Dwight Howard. And I just don't understand why you would sign that guy and think your team is going to get better unless he has a certain role. And I don't know if he's going to be one of those guys that's going to have to or will accept a more humbling role. But I mean, I just felt like Washington should have known better. And he's barely played for Washington. You know, he's missed time this season with Washington. So, I don't know.
To that point, Joel said something earlier where it's just not a center-dominant league anymore. And if you can get one, they're few and far between. And you look at Dwight and you think he should have the tools necessary to be dominant in a league where
there's not a lot. And he's tempting at $5 million a year.
But here's the thing, too, okay? Because you're right. And if you get a guy that gives you a leg up, but this is, again, like the Redskins situation you're talking about, but is it worth the overall headache and otherwise? And I'll give you another example. Like, he used to worry about his touches. He used to worry about his touches all the time. Yeah. I'm not getting enough touches, coach. I'm not getting enough touches. The video department and the stats department would come to him and say, Dwight, you got 20-some touches in the game. Yeah. And they break it down for him. You missed a shot 10 times. You made a shot this many times. You lost the ball and turned it over this many times. Those don't count. That was his response. Those don't count because I wasn't able to get a shot up, so therefore they don't count.
Oh,
Dwight,
hell.
Touches count. You put your hands on the ball, he doesn't get it. And that's just from a basketball perspective.
Well, apparently he's getting plenty of touches now, allegedly.
And then there's that.
He's getting plenty of ball. Never mind. That was too far.
See, then?
He's got all the balls he can handle in his hands. For basketball purposes in Washington, they don't have a good
what was
backup.
That you were saying
never
about
mind.
The difference between
chance.
Could you? Okay.
I was talking basketball, guys. Don't make it sexual. You know how I do sometimes. Jermaine had texted in a question earlier, and I deleted it because I didn't know it was from him. Number one, and number two, you guys are always on me about it. But he said,
"Barry,
does oatmeal get rid of fire ants?"
He asked what happened to it. I said exactly what should have happened to it. I deleted it.
He had heard that, and I have heard that as well, Jermaine, but fact is, I don't think that it's true. I don't know why, but I don't believe that that's the case, that it works. I think you can
why
rub
is
it
Jermaine asking that question?
Because he was the one that said he had fire ants.
It may
ants.
Work the other way,
he's
Jermaine. Just put some
guy.
Fire ants in your oatmeal and give it a try.
Don't you want to talk about your Saints, Jermaine? Jeez.
You guys.
Did you mention Saint Jermaine? I thought it was Saint Augustus.
No, it's Saint
Augustine.
September. Huh. Get
okay,
it right.
Close enough.
I hate you guys
clueless.
So much.
Y'all are clueless.
At least you don't have to water your lawn tonight, Barry, because it rained.
My lawn is riddled with fungus, so.
Well, throw some oatmeal on it. Give it a whirl.
No, I do.
See what happens.
I need to make a trip to Southwest Fertilizer and get some fungus killer, but I've just been so lazy because I work so hard all summer in the lawn that when the
plenty
winter rolls around.
Crap on it. You don't need to pay for
grass.
Fertilizer.
Huh?
Plenty of people will crap on it. Just tell them where you live. You don't need fertilizer.
That's true. I'm not getting fertilizer. Fungus killer. It's running rampant right now. So.
See? Screw you, Jermaine. Go find Craig Koshkin or something and do another podcast. Stop asking if oatmeal gets rid of fire ants.
Chris,
what's wrong with you people?
Chris said, what are the chances that Howard ends up with the Warriors? I would say slim and none.
Nope.
Right?
They got to test out Boogie and see what he can do with that after that Achilles.
Well, you know what they're also doing? They're testing out their own internal system if they can control one of those loose cannons like Boogie. Boogie, similar as Dwight in terms of their personalities and kind of those kind of things, to where
Yeah.
We'll see. If they can survive Boogie and he leaves, you can see Dwight on their bench for
faded for a year.
Yeah.
Somebody said tell Jermaine to pee on the fire ant bites like a jellyfish. It won't work, but it's worth a shot. There you go. Just start peeing on yourself, Jermaine. That'll take care of it.
And if nothing else, like I told you, just walk through your lawn with your bare feet twice a day. Check and see if the fire ants do any damage. All right, speaking of damage, our damage is done. We are out of here. The Blitz is in. Fred, AJ, Jung, they're up next. They will take you home. They don't have to do a darn thing, and neither do you. They're going to do their show. You're going to listen attentively, and everybody is going to be better for it. For Barry and for Nick, I am Joel signing off.
We'll see y'all in Beaumont tomorrow. Somebody had asked, are we in Beaumont tomorrow at Luke's? Absolutely. We'll see you there. Come out.
There you have it. Y'all have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.